Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. It's great to pause once again and just open up God's word and have a look what he has to say to us today. We're going to be turning to 2 Peter once again. If you're tuning in for the first time, we've just been making our way through the epistle by Peter, the second one, and we're just starting on chapter 2 today. So if you've got your Bibles, open it up to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read the first three verses. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. And we pray that you would use it to help us to see the truth, that you would use it to mature us and help us to become more like Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, false and truth, true preachers, true teachers, and false preachers, and false prophets, and false teachers. It's been a problem since the beginning of time, since the very beginning in the garden, really, when the first false preacher walked in the garden amongst Adam and Eve and whispered lies into the ears of Eve. And it's never really stopped, has it? Like, as you turn through the scriptures, as you go through the Bible, you just see time after time after time of false preachers and time after time judgment against false preachers and false prophets and false teachers. And Peter is very well aware of what's going on in the church. He's aware of the teaching of Jesus, who said that false teachers will come. You remember he talks about the wolves coming, dressed like sheep amongst the sheep. And so Peter wants to warn, he wants to warn the readers, and he wants to warn you and I of what might happen and really what is happening. Although Peter speaks in the future tense as he thinks about the false prophets and false teachers, I don't think he's thinking this is something which is going to happen off in the future, because in the wider context, it's apparent that this is a reality right now for the church. And really, it's an issue right now for us in the church, and you look at the wider church and some of the teaching that's happening. But this section here, these first three verses, although it's the start of a new chapter, which sometimes can tempt us to think it's a brand new section, it's really intimately connected to the section that goes before. And it would actually be great if we could just delete that number out there, and it would be a little bit easier to see. And you'll remember that yesterday, and well, at least if you were here yesterday, you'll remember, in verse 16 through 21, Peter was sort of laying a foundation of authority. And he was saying that the only authority he stands upon is ultimately the word of God, which ratifies or which clarifies or which confirms what he saw and heard. And so, after having said that he's a true apostle and that he has the Old Testament word of God, he now moves on to say that just like the Old Testament word of God was there, there was Old Testament false prophets there. So he says, but false prophets arose among the people, and he's referencing the false prophets of the Old Testament. But that he's not overly concerned with that, he moves on very quickly to the main sort of thrust of this passage, which is the false teachers. He says, just like, in a sense, just like there is New Testament apostles who lay a foundation for the word, or who take the word and lay a foundation for the church, there are New Testament false prophets or teachers who do the opposite. So he says, just as there were these false prophets who rose up among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. So this is a reality. It's a future reality, but it's also a present reality. And I'd like us just to really consider these false teachers. What is a false teacher? And there's three questions. What is a false teacher? What is their fruit? And then what is their end? So what's a false teacher? Well, obviously it's a teacher who's false. I was tempted to just say we'll move on because we know now, but that might be a bit, we'll move on. What is a false teacher? A false teacher, it's interesting because the word comes from the Greek from a pseudo-teacher, or technically pseudo-didaskalos, but it's pseudo, and I wonder what comes into your mind when you think of pseudo. You think of, you know, pseudo writers and pseudo autographs and pseudo names, and what are they all? They're all fake representations of something, aren't they? They're all false representations. Now, they're not necessarily negative, but they're all false, aren't they? And it's the same word that in Greek gets translated as liar, or lying, or false, or betrayer, or bogus. That would be a good translation, a bogus teacher. One of the dictionaries, one of the lexicons I used, suggested that you could translate it as a bogus teacher. I was like, that's great. I almost wish the ESV had translated it as bogus teacher, because I think it really accurately sums up what it is we're dealing with. We're not dealing with men who have just become a little bit astray. That's, you know, we're not talking about someone who's got a doctrinal difference. You know, like, think about things like baptism. Some of you watching will hold to adult baptism, and some of you watching, like me, will hold to pedobaptism. We're not talking about that type of a difference. We're talking about teachers who are intentionally spreading lies and bogus belief systems in order to push things in a certain direction. And so the question that naturally flows out of that is, well, what were they teaching? What were these false teachers teaching? And Peter hints at it in this passage. He says, have a look here, at the second half of verse 1, he says, these false teachers arose, or among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, and this is what it is, even denying the master. And of course, you would be right in asking the question, well, what does that look like? What does denying the master look like for these teachers? And I think Peter actually opens that up. And I can't be 100% confident on this, but I'm pretty confident on this. In chapter 3, verse 4. So in verse 3 of chapter 3, he says that these scoffers will come in the last days. Now, I don't know if Peter is connecting scoffers to teachers, but I think it's very likely he's thinking of the same type of people. He's thinking of people who spread false truths. And see what they say in verse 4. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." Now remember, one of the huge problems that Peter is trying to deal with is people being persuaded by false teachers that it's okay to sin, that it doesn't matter how you live your life, you just go for it. And so if you put that context there, and there's these scoffers in the future who are going to say, "Ah, Christ's not going to return, don't worry about it." And Peter here says that they deny the Lord. I just wonder, and I don't think we're far from it, I think it's a pretty safe assumption to think that one of the major things these false teachers were saying is that, Christ isn't going to come back, or he's not going to come back for ages, so live as you want. It doesn't matter. You live as you please. Live for yourself. And that brings us to what the fruit of these false teachers was. Have a look with me. verse 2. Many will follow their sensuality, and bless, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. And here we see their fruit. The word for sensuality, I think sensuality, it's accurate, but I think it's possibly a little bit narrow. Sensuality, I wonder what it generates in your mind when you think of sensuality. But when I think of sensuality, it's sort of, I guess, a particular group of sins come to my mind when I think about sensuality. And maybe it's the same for you. But it's a little bit broader than that. The word for sensuality here is, it carries the idea of self-abandonment or the opposite of self-control. You remember one of the things that we were to supplement our faith with back in chapter 1 was self-control. So it's the opposite of self-control. Being so incredibly selfish that you don't withhold anything from yourself. You just abandon yourself to sin. Abandon the self and devote yourself to sin. And that's very broad, isn't it? That could cover a whole bunch of different things in your life, not just one particular type of sin. Now, it's highly likely the sensual type of sins were very much a part of it, especially given the context, just like it is today. But we shouldn't limit it to only those things. So their teaching leads to sensuality in themselves and also those that listen and adhere to their teaching. But then also it causes the truth to be blasphemed. You see, the natural path of a false teacher is that eventually the true gospel will be called into disrepute, and the true preaching of Christ will be brought into disrepute, and therefore that is what he means by the teaching of Christ will be blasphemed. The teaching of truth will be blasphemed because the speaker will hold forth something other than the truth and have the label of God, the label of Christ, the label of Christianity. And we see this, don't we? We see this. We'll talk about that in a second. But they have the label of Christianity, and yet they're not living as Christians are meant to live, and therefore they are blaspheming the truth. See, blasphemy is not just words. I mean, yeah, there is blaspheming, using your tongue as you blaspheme God's name. But one of the key ways we blaspheme is by not living up to the truth of the Word of God. But then lastly, very quickly, greed. And in their greed, they will exploit you. So the false teachers are exploiting their hearers for money. And I wonder if this sounds a whole lot like anything in the modern church to you. Well, if you're thinking of people like Creflo Dollar and Joel Osteen, that's where my thought instantly went. There is just a money-making industry in the world built on false teaching, built on lies, built on false truth, built on sensuality, built on greed. And that's exactly what Peter's addressing, and he's saying it's a heinous evil thing. And it actually raises a really important point for us, which is we need to really beware of false teachers. You know, false teachers don't turn up overnight. False teachers, you know, no one just randomly stands up in church one day and says, "Oh yes, I am going to teach against Christ." It always happens by subtle little steps. One step outside the truth, then two steps outside the truth. And so we must be very careful as we listen to people teaching, as we listen to people preaching, that we listen carefully with the foundation of the Word of God in our hand, so that we can be like the Bereans. You remember the Bereans in the book of Acts? What do? They listen to the apostles and they compare it to the Word of God. They search the Word of God diligently to see if what they're saying is found in God's Word. And we must be like that. It doesn't matter how long your pastor has been with you. It doesn't matter how faithfully he opens up the Scriptures. Every single Sunday as you listen to him, You should be holding your Bible in your hand. This is one of the reasons I love Bibles in people's hands. I love it when I say, have a look at verse 1, and everyone goes, or I hear the, you know, the rough rustling of pages. I love it because what it's telling me is the people are comparing what I'm saying to the Word of God. And you need to make sure you're doing the same thing. Compare everything to God's Word. Anytime you hear anything, you should ask yourself, does the Bible say that? Is that the truth of God's Word? Because we can come up with the best concepts known to man, but if they're not in God's Word, they're falsehoods. And they will lead us into this type of fruit. But very, very briefly, let's see. What is the end for these false teachers? And this is a good warning for them and for us as well. Let's have a look. So they're teaching destructive heresies. So that gives you one indication, isn't it? It's a destructive heresy. The word for heresy, you could say opinion. It's a destructive opinion. It's not like a sect. It's not like a particular heretical group. They're people whose opinion is destructive because it goes against the gospel. They teach it. They deny the master, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And then in the end, at the end of verse 3, their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And we won't unpack this because we're going to be touching into this in the next few verses, but let me just use this as a support, an encouragement to what I've just said about the need to test everything by the Word of God. If a false teacher comes into our church and starts teaching falsehood, it starts small and it slowly gets bigger. And as it slowly gets bigger, eventually they're way off track. And it's at some point in that falsehood, they've moved from having a different view to you to being anti-scripture. And they're bringing destruction upon themselves, but they're also potentially bringing destruction upon their hearers and leading people to desolation. And of course, that raises a huge question. This is why it's so important that we compare it to the Word of God. Because what you don't want is to find out in 5 years' time that there's been a false preacher in your church this whole time, and he's been leading people away from Christ. So what's one very key mark? One very key mark of a false teacher and a false preacher. I wonder how you'd answer that question. Well, if you think back to the fruit of a false teacher and a false preacher, what was the fruit? The fruit was sin, wasn't it? It leads towards destructive opinions and to sensuality, self-abandonment, to greed, to selfishness. It leads to sin, doesn't it? Ultimately, any falsehood always leads towards sin. So what does a true teacher look like? Well, the opposite of that is what? Godliness, Christ-likeness, holiness. So I just want to give you a little litmus test. So as you go away from here, I'd encourage you, sit down and think about your church. Think about your church's ministries. Think about the teachers, the Bible studies, maybe the ladies' Bible studies and the Bible study groups and the men's Bible studies and the Sunday schools or whatever it is that your church has. Sit down and think about it and ask yourself this question. Think about this as a litmus test. Does the teaching in this group or pulpit or whatever, does this teaching promote godliness, holiness, Christ-likeness, and righteousness? Because if it doesn't, you must ask, is it biblical? Because the natural fruit of the true teacher of the gospel is people becoming transformed into the image of Christ. And so if you look around your church and you think to yourself, I'm fairly sure no one's becoming more like Jesus, start asking some questions, not from here, but from here. And if you see people becoming more like Christ, celebrate, because it's a good sign that the Word of God is being expounded and opened up and taught faithfully. And then for us personally, let us look to the true preaching and teaching of God's word in whatever way we can find it, and use it so that we might become more like Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you died to buy us the true gospel, and we pray that you would help us to feed upon it. Would you protect our teachers from being led astray? Would you protect the sheep from false teachers? In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me for another day. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for the last daily devotion for the week, and then we'll go to church on Sunday. So have a blessed weekend, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Good night.